We'll entertain a motion to come back into regular session for public hearings from recess.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. I'm going to try to find a few more chairs to bring up if there's room there, if you can't, so you can all sit down, hopefully. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. The rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. We do have a sign-in sheet at the speaker stand, and please sign in when you approach the podium. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lank, it's my understanding that the hearings today will conduct one hearing, and then when they're considered, they must be considered obviously separately. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's the way we process the applications. Otherwise, there would be a large amount of duplication and statements, etc. Okay. So they will be consolidated, and the decision will be based individually on each application.
Okay. Thank you.
We have three applications today. As just stated, we are going to consider those applications jointly as one. As far as public hearing, will be individual decisions will be based on each of those applications. I have to read the introduction of each application for the record. The first one is change of zone number 1719. It's the application of Castaways Bethany LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from MR medium density residential district to an AR1 agriculture residential district to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5 acres more or less of two parcels and lying east of Cedar Neck Road, also known as Road 357, across from Sandy Cove Road, also known as Road 358. And being identified as part of tax map ID 134, map 9, parcels 21 and 24. Change of zone 1720 is the application of Castaways Bethany LLC's application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from MR medium density residential to a CR1 commercial residential district to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, and containing 1.02 acres more or less. And again, lying east of Cedar Neck Road, also known as Road 357, across from Sandy Cove Road, also known as Road 358, and being identified as part of tax map ID 134, map 9, parcel 21. And the third application is conditional use number 1944, the application of Castaways Bethany LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district, a CR1 commercial residential district, a MR medium density residential district, and an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, a campground, and an outdoor amusement place where permitted as conditional uses, and to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 38.53 acres, more or less, lying east of Cedar Neck Road, also known as Road 357, and across from Sandy Cove Road, also known as Road 358, and being identified as tax map ID 134, map 9, parcels 21 and 24. For benefit of the record, I know that most of the parties here had the pleasure of seeing them a couple weeks ago in Planning and Zoning Commission session on September 6th. And what I've provided to the council is a 10-page document of summation of the record of the commission's public hearing. In the process of the public hearing, the applicant did provide on July 12th of 2012 an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report and plans for Castaways Bethany. I described for that record what was contained in that report. Also advised the commission that the preliminary land use service dated May 17th of 2004 was received on May 24th of 2012 and contained 17 pages of comments, and that Landtech Land Planning LLC responded to those comments on the day of the public hearing with the commission on September 6th of 2012 with 23 pages of response. We also heard comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District. The commission was advised that petitions voicing opposition to this application were received containing approximately 216 signatures, and that approximately 255 letters and emails have been received voicing opposition to this application. And I did also advise the commission that there may be, and there are, some duplication of letters, since some parties sent letters, emails, and faxes of the same document. And that's been repeated since then, so there is some duplication. The application was represented by Todd Burbage, a member of Castaways Bethany LLC, with James Fuquay Jr., attorney, and Jeff Clark and Paul West of Landtech Land Planning LLC, and Garth Jones, professional engineer of Becker Morgan Group. And there are several pages of their testimony, which is in the report to council. Mr. Fuquay also provided a series of findings of facts and suggested conditions of approval that could be considered. They were only suggested. After a recess of 10 minutes, the commission did raise questions to Mr. Fuquay, Mr. Clark, Mr. Jones, and Mr. Burbage, and did get responses. At that end of that response time, there was Mary Shriver Fox, attorney, was present on behalf of several homeowner associations and gave testimony. And then we had several speakers from representing community associations and individually gave testimony in opposition. There were questions raised again by the commission on a couple of items that were addressed by the applicants' representatives. And then at the conclusion of the public hearing, there was motion. And if I may, Mr. Moore, just read the motion once because it's the same on all three applications since they're consistent. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Ross, and carried unanimously to defer action with the record left open for the plus comments, the applicant's response to the plus comments, and the state's response to the applicant's comments, and to leave the record open for 14 days for public review and comments. And additionally, the record is to be left open for a letter of no objection from DLDOT, and for the commission to review the letters and a DVD that was submitted and a 14-day period begins from the time of receipt is announced on a future agenda at a public meeting of the commission. That same motion was carried throughout the three applications. The commission again met last Thursday for the purpose of introducing those comments that were received on the plus comments and the response from the applicant's representatives. And if I may, I'll read that short paragraph. Mr. Abbott advised the commission that the report for this application was left open and received a plus comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination and the applicant's response to the plus comments. They want the applicant's response to the plus comments, the Office of State Planning Coordination considers the file complete and does not issue a final letter. But this was confirmed with the Office of State Planning Coordination on September 14th of 2012, that a Delta letter with no objection is not typically required until the site plan review and approval process, that each member has received a copy of the plus comments and the applicant's response, and that the 14-day period for written comments will close at the end of business on October 5th of 2012. Therefore, there was a motion and second and carried unanimously to defer action and to leave the record open for 14 days for written comments. And that motion carried 5-0. That was last Thursday, same motion on all three applications. For the benefit of council, I made reference to a DVD. I passed down copies of, for each of the councilmen, of a DVD of a tour of, I call it a tour of Cedar Neck, prepared by Mr. Krieger, one of the opponents to the application. And that's, and we're preparing the same information. We just got them today. It'll be distributed to the commission members. They also are getting a DVD. We had to run it through our IT section. Received a note just a few minutes before the hearing started. If I may, I'll read this one. It's addressed to the Sussex County Council. It states, I came over today and due to the time frame and my schedule, I was not able to stay. I believe in transparency of government, and government should be as close to the people as it can be. I stay out of local government unless I am asked to get involved by those elected officials. It is inappropriate for the a sitting House member to participate in county issues that will put one side against the other. We share some of the same concerns as my resident abuts up to this property. We believe in the area and run a business in the area and have no financial interest in this and have sold no property or have any interest in selling any property. I have encouraged everyone to come here and express their views and concerns. I have faith in our elected county council that they will make the right decision, and it's signed by Gerald W. Hocker. And I have one other. For the benefit of council, again, I passed down some documents. This is an estimated comparison of county revenues for proposed uses on parcels 134, map 9, parcel 21 and 24 on that 38.53 acres being given consideration today. And for Mr. Fuqua and your representatives, I have also have a copy. And for Mary Shriver Fox, if you would desire, I have some copies also. Your group. Now, this is a comparison of the current use and assessed values of the property, and makes reference to annual revenues being taxes and also one-time revenues, and it makes reference, as I said, to the current use values, the season that Bethany approved at 143 units values, a campground and water park with 60 rental units values, and a difference between the proposed uses. And if I just to throw out one number on the total one-time values in comparison, the season that Bethany approved at 143 units would equal $1,491,350, versus a campground and water park with 60 rental units, value out the revenue at $692,275, and the difference between the proposed uses would amount to $799,075. I'll provide a copy of that to the clerk of the council. Lastly, I made reference to a lot of numbers and of letters, emails, faxes, etc. And again, last evening I stayed around and tried to count out what numbers that we have on file to date. That was yesterday. And admittedly, there is some duplication. Some of the documents, signers sent more than one because they sent an email, they sent a letter, they sent a fax. There were different dates. They're still in the count, so the count's still a number, but admittedly there is some duplication. And there are sometimes different dates and by different parties. But just for a summation of those letters, there were 95 signatures from homeowners who accessed Sandy Cove Road. There were 74 signatures, didn't really give a location as to where those individuals were from other than the general area. There was another petition with 87 signatures from Cedar Landing, another with 32 signatures from Sandy Cove, which gave us a total of 288 signatures and petitions, and only four filings of petitions. To date, as of, other than what's just been submitted to me by council, I had 407 letters, emails, or faxes in opposition. I received 9 letters in opposition on behalf of 9 communities, Cedar Bay, Sandy Cove, Salt Pond, Quillen's Point, Bayside Hamlet, Bethany Lakes, Bayside at Bethany Lakes, Murray's Estates, Collins Park, Cedar Landing, and I stand corrected, that was 10, sorry. We also received, just by reviewing the letters, there were 21 communities, and I'm referring to communities that could have been road frontage communities as being Central Avenue, Fred Hudson Road, Cedar Neck Road, and then individually Quillen's Point, Cedar Landing, the Reservation, Bethany Preserve, Bethany Grand, Pine Crest, Sandy Cove Road, Murray's Estates, North Beach, Bayside of Bethany Lakes, Bethany Lakes itself, Salt Pond, Sandy Cove, Piney Neck Road, Bayside Hamlet, Ocean View, Steeles Acres, and Bethany Bay. I believe that was 21. I believe that's all I have at this time.
Okay, are there any questions from council? Mr. Lank?
Yeah, I didn't see the request report on here.
The plus report was just made available to the commission.
It's not here.
No. Right. I'd have to make that available to council the same. It's a 20-some. It's actually the one document that came from the applicant's response, includes the comments of plus their response. Mm-hmm. So it's 23 pages.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Are there any other questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuqua.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney with offices here in Georgetown, and I'm representing the applicant, Castaways Bethany LLC. With me is Jeff Clark from LandTech. Jeff will be reviewing the site plan with you. Garth Jones from Becker Morgan, who will be going over some of the engineering concepts, and Todd Burbage, who is one of the principals of the applicant. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report that was submitted. The plus comments and the response to the plus comments are in that report. I do have a preliminary question before I start my presentation for Mr. Lank, if I might. I was handed, as you know, this estimated comparison of county revenues for proposed uses of our parcels of land. And at whose direction was this prepared, Mark?
It was It was submitted to me by administration.
Right, I asked the staff to prepare that.
Okay, so, all right, so that's an exhibit being entered by the council on this public hearing?
Mr. Moore, how would you? I had requested Todd to get staff to make an analysis, and we've just passed it out, so how would that be handled?
If it's being used, it would be considered an exhibit.
And what is the point of it, I guess is what I'm wondering.
Just to show the comparison of the present project as it's been approved versus what the proposed project is.
My only concern is, I object to it, and I realize there's a public hearing, you're going to submit anything you want to, but in 30 years, I'm not aware of the council ever doing an economic comparison of the tax benefit of a proposed use before.
For many years, the applicants have given us economic benefits to the county from proposed developments.
Quite often.
On fees and, you know, and revenue, taxes, and you've done that yourself.
Right.
So I just took a page out of your book and figured, why not do an economic analysis of this project versus what the proposal is?
All right, well,
that's all.
I won't object to it. It's in the record, but I am concerned if council members start entering exhibits. I'm just concerned that could lead to a problem. I don't object to this.
It's my job to do things like that.
Well, not to, your job is to decide, not to be a proponent for either side.
Well, this is just an economic analysis of what you're proposing and what's existing there. So I don't know if it's taken any size, it's just showing the facts.
Okay, again, I just was not familiar with it until I walked in here.
Well, it's something that you can argue as you have an opportunity to take a look at it.
Yeah,
and again, I like I said, it was just handed to me today. Getting to the application itself, this is a proposal to create a development consisting of a campground, multifamily duplex residential units, and a water park to be known as Castaways Bethany. The site plan, which you have a copy of, this is Cedar Neck Road. This would be where the water park is located. These areas here are the campsites, parking lot here, and then the residential units right here. Due to the requirements of the zoning ordinance, the proposed development results in three applications. You heard Mr. Lank read the introductory comments, and obviously it sounded very confusing, but because of the way the ordinance is written, it was required, as I said, to file three different applications. Change of Zone 719 is rezoning a small portion of the existing land from MR to AR. Change of Zone 1720 is rezoning a portion of the existing land from MR to CR1, and Conditional Use 1944 is a conditional use application that's comprised of three elements: the campground, the multifamily units, and a water park. As was already stated, although there are three applications, the proposed development has an interwoven design, so we will be addressing everything in this one presentation, and that record will apply to all three applications. We have reviewed and considered the comments and objections which were raised in the many letters and emails that were submitted for the record, as well as the comments that were made at the planning and zoning hearing. Many of the concerns expressed are impacts that would occur under uses already permitted on the site by the current zoning, and we believe that we have properly addressed these concerns through the careful design of the site plan and the proposed conditions that we will suggest that you impose as conditions on the conditional use approval. There is, right from the outset, that there's a very important point I want to stress, and this is something that you need to keep in mind when you're considering both the applicant's presentation and the issues raised by the opposition to the application. As we present this application today, the majority of this site is vacant. It's vacant land. So for all practical purposes, there currently is very little land use impact from this site because there isn't any current use of this site. Our proposal, or any other alternative proposal for the use of this land, will certainly have increased impacts on traffic, sewer use, sounds, and all the other aspects related to the use of land. However, in considering the impacts of our proposal, those impacts should not be compared to the existing vacant condition of the land, but those impacts should be compared to the impacts of the possible uses of the site that are already legally permitted by virtue of the existing zoning of the land. And I'll be explaining that further. What I think you will see is that our proposal has impacts that are similar and in some ways significantly less than the uses that are already permitted on this site. Now, the site itself is located on Cedar Neck Road. I know you're all familiar with that. The general nature and character of Cedar Neck Road is a mixture of single-family homes and residential developments. There are some newer single-family and multifamily developments that are predominantly in the vicinity of the Fred Hudson Road intersection. There's also manufactured home parks, camp parks, and commercial and business uses generally fronting on Cedar Neck Road. Those business uses are zoned commercial for the most part. As to the land itself, the site is located on the east side of Cedar Neck Road. The east or the rear of the site contains federal and state wetlands, and then those wetlands borders on other wetlands that are on lands of the state of Delaware to the rear. North of the site is a residential subdivision, the reservation. South of the site is one single-family home and vacant land, which is owned by Gerald Hocker, and that land is currently farmed. And then south of that, south of the Hocker land, is an RV service sales center, and south of that is Magnolia's Restaurant. Across from that, there is an existing camper storage business, which is on the west side of Cedar Neck Road. West of the site, directly across Cedar Neck Road, there are several single-family residences on the north side of Sandy Cove Road, which is a road that intersects. And then south of Sandy Cove Road, across from the location of the proposed water park, is the shopping center that contains Hocker's G&E grocery store, a hardware store, gasoline sales, a clothing store, and a sandwich shop. And those lands are all zoned commercial. The Castaway site itself is comprised of three parcels. The north parcel, which is this parcel right here, contains a total of 19.91 acres. With wetlands located to the rear of the site, there's 11.47 acres of non-wetlands, and that land is zoned MR, medium density residential. The middle parcel is a total of 9.54 acres. Again, there's wetlands located to the rear. There's 6.05 acres of non-wetlands, and that land is currently zoned general commercial. And then the southern parcel right here is a total of 9.17 acres. Again, wetlands to the rear. 4.71 acres of this site, which is the non-wetland portion, is zoned general commercial, and 1.93 acres is zoned MR. In all, excluding the wetlands, there's 13.4 acres of MR land and 10.7 acres of general commercial C1 land. And then also, as to the existing parcels, the north and the middle parcel are currently approved for 143 multifamily residential units consisting of condo buildings and townhouses. And that was a development that was approved called The Seasons. Again, that's the site plan of The Seasons. Again, showing on the north side of it townhouses and on the south side of it multifamily buildings. And that was the approved preliminary plan.
Was that an RPC?
Was it an RPC? Mm-hmm. I think it was.
Okay.
Or conditional use?
Conditional use.
I'm not sure.
All right.
And that is a valid site plan. The southern parcel has a self-storage business located on that, so there's storage buildings on a portion of the commercially zoned land at the present time. So what we're proposing is to create Castaways as a development made up of three components. The campground itself would have 139 campsites. They would have sewer and water hookups, two bathhouses, and laundry facilities. The second component is 60 multifamily duplex-type residential units. They would be rented as part of the development. And just for comparison purposes, the units would be similar to the residential units that are rented by the state at the north side of the Indian River Inlet. And then the third component is the water park, and that would consist of water slides, wave and swimming pools, children pool, lockers, and a lodge with bathroom, showers, and a place for the sale of food and beverages and park-related items such as suntan lotion, shirts, and things similar to that. The water park would be open to the visitors staying at the campsites and the residential units, as well as to the general public. All visitors entering the site, whether they are staying there as residents or coming to the water park, would enter by a controlled entrance located adjacent to the park office in the parking lot. And Jeff Clark will be reviewing the site plan in detail with you in a moment. So the three applications actually before you, Jeff, if you could get the, just so I can tell you specifically what we're doing here. The first application, we're seeking to rezone 1.02 acres from its existing MR to CR1, commercial. This land is adjacent to the land that's currently zoned commercial. It's an extension of the commercially zoned land, and this is part of the location of the water park, which is a conditional use in a commercial zone. So again, this is all zoned commercial, this is all zoned commercial. This piece we're seeking to rezone commercial. Second application is to rezone two portions of the land that's currently zoned to MR to AR. This parcel contains 3.39 acres right here and 1.61 acres. This together with other land that's zoned C1, that would be the land in between, would be the location of the campground, which again is a conditional use in AR and commercial zones. And then the third application is the conditional use application. And as I said, there are three components, the campground, the multifamily units, and the water park. Now, as to utility services, the site is located in the Cedar Neck expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It is anticipated that the entire development will utilize approximately 139 EDUs. Or sewer usage of 139 equivalent dwelling units. Per the review comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department, the sewer system design assumption for these three parcels of land is 205.5 EDUs. In other words, the county anticipated the use of about 205 EDUs for this land. Our proposal will be utilizing 139 EDUs, or 66 fewer EDUs than would be permitted and planned. The applicant, of course, will be required to pay all applicable charges for connection and comply with all the requirements of the County Engineering Office. As far as water, water for both domestic use and fire protection will be from a public water supplier at Sussex Shores Water Company. An ability to serve letter was submitted as part of our exhibit book. Now, as you know, one of the important considerations of any land use proposal is that the proposal be consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. And that, of course, is a requirement of state law. Now, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the future land use map, designates our land as being in the environmentally sensitive development area. The environmentally sensitive development area is one of the designated growth areas that's identified in the plan. And that's on page 3-9 and 3-15 of the plan. Now, this area was marked as a growth area for the same reasons that we believe make this site an appropriate and logical location for our proposed development. The site is close to existing developments and commercial services. It's also close to nearby municipalities of Ocean View, Millville, Bethany Beach, and South Bethany. The site, again, is served by county sewer and public water. And the site is near major roads, namely Route 1 running north-south and Route 26 running east-west. The comprehensive plan recognizes that a range of housing types should be permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, including single-family townhouses, multifamily units, as well as retail and office use. The plan strongly encourages that the development in the environmentally sensitive development area be served by central sewer and water, which this site is. Our proposed development is consistent with the plan's vision that Sussex County maintain its role as Delaware's leader, not only in agriculture, but also as Delaware's tourism center and the state's major growth area. And the plan states that full-time residents and second home residents and seasonal tourism will continue to drive the local Sussex economy. And that's on page 2-2 of the plan. Our proposal is also in accordance with the purposes and goals of the plan, since it promotes tourism and economic development. The planning and construction of castaways will generate work and jobs for dozens of local businesses and employees of those businesses. And when completed and operational, castaways is estimated to create between 69 and 94 full and part-time jobs. And they would be supervisory staff, office staff, maintenance and housekeeping, and people employed in the recreation and safety aspects of the development. Now, there was some criticisms that these are all not high-paying jobs and that many of these are only part-time jobs, you know, that are seasonal jobs. But the fact is, these will be new jobs that do not exist today. There's additional economic impact, and that'll be created by the visitors at Castaways. They will be using local stores and restaurants, RV service and storage businesses, and the whole spectrum of tourist-related businesses, and that'll benefit the economic health of all of the local economy. The plan also states on page 2-2 that as a general principle, Sussex County government encourages economic growth and strongly respects private property rights and is committed to maintaining a viable climate for preserving agriculture. Now, our proposal has no negative impact on agriculture. It is a proposal by the owners of the land to generate economic growth by the creation of what we believe is a quality camp, park, and recreation facility at an appropriate location in an area designated for growth in and near the tourist-related destinations in southeast Sussex County. Now, the comp plan by its nature presents broad guidelines, and that results in a bouncing of various goals of the plan. There's Delaware court decisions, which Mr. Moore could tell you, that basically says that there has to be some balancing of the goals of the plan. In other words, these guidelines are not absolute. They're helpful criteria, but they're not meant to be inflexible standards. What is important and what is absolute, however, is the existing zoning of this land and the uses that are currently legally permitted. When I say legally permitted, the existing uses require nothing more than site plan review by the Planning Commission, and of course that site planning would have to be in compliance with the requirements of the ordinance. Now, as I mentioned before, this site is already approved, or at least the two northern portions are approved for 143 condos and townhouses. The southern portion currently has a self-storage facility on it, and is presently zoned a 13.4 acres of medium density zone land can be developed in some residential fashion. As I noted, it's already approved for multifamily use. In addition, the presently zoned 10.7 acres of commercial zone land can today be developed in a wide variety of commercial uses. C1 zoning allows as a permitted use all the list of permitted uses for both C1 and B1 zoning districts. So today, this land could be developed with the following uses or combination of several of the following uses. Right now, a bank could be placed there, a gas station can be built there, a car wash, auto or truck sales and service repair, including a body shop, a hotel or motel, an animal hospital or kennel with open pens, a restaurant including fast food drive-in restaurants, convenience stores such as Wawa or Hickory Farms, multifamily dwellings with mixed commercial residential use, and basically almost any type of retail, office, service, or repair type of business. And those permitted uses include a shopping center containing, as I said, a multiple of those uses. And again, I can stress these are permitted today on that 10.7 acres. So with that as basically an introduction. I'll turn this over to Jeff Clark to review the site plan with you. And then Jeff is going to be followed by, as I mentioned, Garth Jones, who's going to review some of the engineering aspects. And then Todd Burbage will follow him with, he's actually the owners of Castaways Campground in Ocean City, and he can explain to you a little bit about how the concept for this proposal came to be and how a campground actually operates. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff.
Thanks, Jim. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a landscape architect with the firm of Land Tech Land Planning in Ocean View, Delaware. And I'm going to begin my presentation today with the master land use plan. Lawrence passed out the books that we prepared for your benefit earlier last week, and that is found in tab 3 in your book. Each of the plans I'm going to be presenting from today, the Cedar Neck Road is along the top of each of the plans, just to orient you to those. And again, just want to confirm that the state of Delaware wetlands boundary, that's this the southernmost irregular line on the master plan, is delineated per the state of Delaware maps. The federal boundary was just recently delineated and confirmed as adequate or accurate by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Their letter is in tab 11 of your book. The natural topography of the site, if you've been there, you notice that it falls gently towards the wetlands from Cedar Neck Road. It drops in elevation about 10 or 11 feet from the wood line to Cedar Neck Road. The site, as you can see on the master plan, does involve about 3 acres of existing woodland that are in some of the campsites. And thank you, Jim. The location of the site entrance across from the G&E stores became a key design element and really established the vehicle circulation system for the entire site and set the location for the three major land uses, which are the multifamily housing, the recreational vehicle park, and the outdoor aquatic park. The entrance as shown on the master plan has been reviewed by DelDOT and designed in accordance with their standards as to decel length, turning radius, and both entering and exiting lane widths. Aligning the site entrance with Sandy Cove Road was not allowed due to the angled nature of the intersection. And so they encouraged us to site the entrance where you see it on the master plan. Following my presentation, the project civil engineer is also going to explain that DelDOT will require a bike lane associated with this project and a 10-foot-wide multimodal path to be installed along the entire Cedar Neck Road frontage of this site. A good example of that in the neighborhood is the Bethany Grand community, which is just south of this. It's kind of a textbook bike lane, multimodal path construction example. The entrance location allows the site parking to be constructed on lands that are currently zoned a C1 commercial and also establishes a single controlled pedestrian entry exit for the site and pedestrians crossing Cedar Neck Road to and from the Hawker's grocery and hardware stores directly across the street. The pedestrian crossing, of course, will be designed collaboratively with Mr. Hawker, the owner, and to DelDOT safety standards, and it will require a DelDOT permit prior to construction. Street lighting along the main entrance will not extend into the site beyond the first intersection, and a lighted business identification sign is planned at the entrance. I'm going to get the cottage exhibit. Bungalow style cottages, as you can see, I've rendered the cottages themselves in the tan color, are arranged as semi-detached or duplex multifamily dwellings and are planned in the northern part of the site. The cottages are arranged around 4 shared central courtyards to provide a safe play area for children and a gathering place for cottage tenants. The courtyards, as illustrated on the plan, have a clear open space measuring 80 feet in all directions, the courtyard itself. 2 parking spaces are planned for each cottage, and drives are arranged so that emergency vehicles, such as fire department equipment, is not more than 100 feet from any cottage front door within the cluster. All driveways serving these cottages are proposed to have a minimum width of 25 feet. The architecture proposed is a two-story bungalow style. The footprint of the duplex is 1,440 square feet, as it's illustrated on this conditional use site plan. As Jim stated earlier in his presentation, the cottage multifamily dwellings proposed on this plan are in the same location as the four-story multifamily dwellings are on the current approved Seasons at Bethany land use plan. All required building setbacks and separations for the multifamily dwellings in the MR zone have been met on this plan, and the only lighting planned within the multifamily area will be wall-mounted fixtures on the cottages themselves at the front and rear doors. The RV campground section of the application consists of 139 sites for recreational vehicles, and as you can see, it is planned for the center of the property. All recreational vehicle sites illustrated on the conditional use plan measure at least 40 feet in width and contain a minimum of 2,000 square feet of area. All the RV sites are connected to each other with a 20-foot wide paved surface within a 30-foot wide access way. Each RV site's equipped with a sanitary sewer connection, a potable water connection, electric service, and parking for a single automobile in addition to the RV. Areas of the campground that are presently wooded, of course, will be carefully and selectively thinned and cleared to preserve as much of that vegetation as possible to enhance the camping experience. Tab 5 in your book illustrates the bathhouse facilities that are to be sited at two locations as they're illustrated on this site plan. Each of these bathhouses include men's and ladies' showers, toilet and lavatory facilities, as well as a full-service laundry in each. A central path within the campground connects the RV sites directly to the water park and the tot lots for safe pedestrian access. No campsites are within 400 feet of any residence on adjoining properties and are separated from Cedar Neck Road by at least 100 feet. Daily trash pickup at each campsite is planned, and provisions for temporary trash storage have been made on site with a four dumpster pad site in the parking lot. No overhead lighting is planned within the campground area, and agency comments offered during the PLUS process confirmed that no rare, threatened, or endangered species will be affected by what's proposed in this application. No federal wetlands are contained within any campsite, street, or accessway, and the closest campsite to state wetlands is 70 feet with an average separation in excess of 100 feet. As required in the ordinance, a buffer surrounding the a landscape buffer is required around the campground. So a continuous landscape buffer at least 50 feet in width surrounds the entire development. This 4-acre buffer is planned on this, as shown here, to be planted in a mixed deciduous and evergreen tree and shrub selection. This conditional use plan proposes that the landscape buffer actually occur around the perimeter of the entire site and not just around the campground as the code requires. During the Planning and Zoning Commission presentation, it was offered that the applicant would also install a 7-foot fence along the northern landscape planting boundary next to the bungalow cottages and would enter into discussions with the neighboring reservation subdivision owners as to fence design. A nature center is planned near campsite number 124 in the center of the site near the wetlands. The nature center will connect to a pathway network that extends into the federal wetlands as permitted jointly by federal and Delaware environmental agencies to serve as an educational facility for young visitors and their parents to Castaways Bethany. As also was discussed at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, the applicant plans to erect a split rail fence along the upland and wetland boundary to discourage campers from entering the wetlands areas except for controlled entries and pathways approved by DENREC and the Army Corps of Engineers. the water park conditional use site plan illustrates a state-of-the-art outdoor aquatic park, which consists of five individual pieces of water play equipment, the flow rider and the wave pool and the adventure river features. Water park features are all in-ground aquatic amusements, much the same as conventional swimming pools. The kids' tot area includes an 18-foot tall play structure for climbing, and the body and tube slide is a multiple tube slide structure that measures 36 feet tall at its highest point, again, well below the allowable building height for that zone. The five water park amusements are connected with an expanse of pool decking for sunbathing and parents supervising their children playing. And as illustrated on the conditional use site plan, all aquatic amusements are oriented to direct sound inward, and all pool pumping and filtering equipment is housed in structures that have been equipped with sound deadening materials. A two-story Great Lodge is also located within the Aquatic Center complex. And as Jim said earlier, it houses the changing rooms, bathrooms, snack bar, and retail space. The water park is open to both public, the public and to Castaway Bethany tenants. A 181-space parking area for employees, campground and cottage tenant visitors, and water park visitors is planned in the southwest corner of the property. And 10 of those spaces are reserved for handicapped individuals and are the ones closest to the site entrance and park office. The parking area design allocates approximately 50 spaces to employees, 30 spaces to tenants and their visitors, and 100 spaces to the water park day visitors. The applicant also proposes a private shuttle bus service to carry guests to and from the campground, cottages, and water park. The actual water park itself measures 350 by 450 feet, or approximately 3.5 acres, of which about a third of that is pool decking. The balance of the 6.9 acres in the conditional use application is allocated to parking, the actual entrance and exit to the site, park office, and the 50-foot landscape buffer and earthen berm along the Cedar Neck Road in front of the water park. As Jim has stated earlier, this part of the Castaways Bethany conditional use application will close to all guests by 8 p.m. daily. The application proposes the following phasing. Phase one would be the water park with temporary parking in the commercial zone to allow the self-storage component that's already on site to remain. And then also part of phase one would be the installation of the continuous 50-foot landscape buffer and the earthen berm in the front of the water park. Phase two then would be all of the RV lots constructed as a single unit, which would cause the need to remove the self-storage buildings and construct the welcome center and both bathhouses. In addition to that, phase two would also construct 18 cottages. Those 18 are the closest to the aquatic center. Phase three would be 16 additional cottages in the northwest corner of the property. And then phase four, the final phase, would be the remaining cottages. This concludes my presentation. Garth Jones, who's the project civil engineer from Becker Morgan, will now address traffic impact, TMDLs, stormwater management, and compliance with the Sussex County Source Water Protection Zone ordinance.
Good afternoon. My name is Garth Jones. I'm a licensed professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group. And as Jeff mentioned, I'm going to talk about traffic, stormwater management, and the source water protection overlay zone. In regards to traffic, DLDOT has reviewed the proposed development on several occasions, one being the PLUS process, and also through the letter of no objection process that we are going through, currently going through now. We've also had multiple meetings with DelDOT, Census Plus process to talk about entrance location, roadway improvements along the site frontage, and also the process for the letter to obtain a letter of no objection for the entrance location, and also process for reviewing the entrance plans. As Jim mentioned, this site is approved Seasons of Bethany for 143 townhouses and condominiums, and also a self-storage facility. Traffic that is generated, proposed to be generated by the Seasons at Bethany, are estimated at 960 trips per day. Traffic, estimated traffic for Castaways Bethany is estimated at 1,263 trips, or a difference of 303 trips per day. And that's a net increase over what's currently approved and what's proposed. DelDOT has acknowledged that a traffic impact study is not required for this project. DelDOT will require the developer to pay into an area-wide study, which the developer has agreed to in writing. There was a signal agreement for Fred Hudson intersection that was executed as part of the season at Bethany, and DelDOT will require that the property owners execute a new signal agreement for that intersection. As Jeff mentioned, the improvements that DelDOT will require along our site frontage will mimic the Bethany Grand project. And those improvements will be an 11-foot wide right turn lane into the site, a 4-foot wide bike lane across the site frontage, a 10-foot wide multimodal path. There will also be a pedestrian crossing from our side over to the retail center, shopping center across the street. We are, as I mentioned before, we're actually working with DelDOT on a letter of no objection for the entrance improvements, or for the entrance location. That submission was made to DelDOT August 2nd. We've received comments from DelDOT. We're in the process of addressing those comments, and DelDOT has requested our sign and seal plans for the letter of no objection. Also previously mentioned was there's about 11 acres of commercial zone property, and I just wanted to give you an idea of trips generated that could be generated by by-right uses. A convenience store with fuel pumps could generate over 4,300 trips per day. A restaurant with a drive-through, roughly 2,500 trips per day.
If you could please, in the audience, hold your comments to yourself. Thank you.
All these numbers are right out of the ITE manual that DelDOT uses to evaluate the number of trips that a project would generate. A bank with a drive-through would generate 740 trips. A hotel, over 1,000 trips per day, based on a 100-room hotel. A restaurant, over 1,000 trips per day. And a lot of these, with 11 acres commercial, you could cite several of these uses on that property, and they're all by right uses. And they all would have impacts to traffic greater than what's being proposed. Next, I want to talk to you about stormwater management. This property has a title discharge, which means that quantity control is not required. However, quality control for this project is required. Project will utilize green technology, best management practices as recommended by DENREC and Sussex Conservation District, And these BMPs include bioretention areas, infiltration, bioswales, and filter strips. All these green technologies are promoted and supported by DENREC and a conservation district. Castaway Bethany is also located in the Inland Bays Low Reduction Zone, and therefore are required to reduce nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria by 40%. So there is a total maximum daily load requirement that to reduce that requirement by 40%. We've already had meetings with the conservation district to start or to discuss stormwater management strategies for this project. And the project's also located in an excellent recharge area. And the project will have to comply with the Sussex County Source Water Protection Ordinance, meet all the requirements that are contained within that ordinance. There's part of the front of the site is actually in the recharge area, and we understand that there's limits on impervious surfaces and that certain thresholds have to be met in order to meet that impervious requirement. So this project will meet that. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Todd Burbage from Castaways Bethany LLC. He's going to talk a little bit more about his operations and the project.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I am Todd Burbage. I wanted to just give you a little background about myself so you can sort of tell the type of person I am and the
excuse me. No comments, please. Go ahead.
Just to give you a sense that we are invested in this community, that we are stakeholders in the community, and that we do genuinely love the community. I was born here on the Eastern Shore, and in probably the mid-1930s, my grandparents purchased a farm that is located just probably 2.5 miles from this location. It was an area where my mom was raised and that whole side of her family. It's where I learned to drive, and I caught my first fish there. It was probably the best days of my life. My grandmother, I found out since the last hearing, she actually was a clerk of the court here in Sussex County and worked in this community for decades. In the early 1980s, my father, Jack Burbage, started out on his own and started a retail store with the help of my grandfather's style guide, and you probably remember it in Millsboro, Rehoboth Beach, and eventually he came to Bethany Beach probably in the 80s. At that time, he really fell in love with Bethany Beach, and he did some pretty nice development in downtown Bethany Beach, some of which you may be aware of. And I tell you this because, not to be gauche or braggadocious, but I think it's important for you to see the type of developments that we do, and that they are enhancements and they are quality developments that increase the values of the communities. But downtown Bethany Beach, his first development that he did was the Bethany Towns Center, which is where DB Fries is located and a number of other businesses that lease from him. Later, he renovated the Garfield Plaza. When prior to him purchasing it was sort of a modern looking building, and he took it back to sort of a coastal theme and flair to it. And later he developed the Holiday House, where today you have Mangoes and a lot of popular tourist attractions and small businesses that are there. And again, I say that just because I want you to know the type of people that we are and the type of developments that we do. They're not cheap. We don't cut corners. We do the best projects that we possibly can. In the early 90s, actually, my very first business that I ever did was in downtown Bethany Beach. I was probably 17 years old, and I opened a little shave ice stand right in one of these projects that Dad had done. And it was called Oasis Shave Shack, and I made probably $4,500 that summer, and I thought I was rich. And I soon found out that $4,500 doesn't go too far in college, so that was my first venture on my own in Bethany Beach. Later, after I got out of college, I actually moved back and made some roots in Bethany Beach. I actually lived upstairs from the style guide, which is now called Fishtails Today. And again, I tell you this because we're not just come here's who plan on making a quick buck and then leaving the community and not having a vested long-term interest in this. We plan on this project being generational businesses. I have a couple kids, and so do my business partners. They have kids, and it really is something that we intend on having forever. Probably one of the biggest things, and I said this before, and the papers picked up on it, so you've heard it already, but probably the biggest thing is that my big brother actually lives on Cedar Neck Road. He goes past this project every single day, or this piece of property, with my two nephews and his wife, and I would never do anything that I thought would devalue his quality of life or his community or that I thought would be something of danger or not bring his quality of life up. I just wouldn't do that. So that's a little bit about my background. Now, in 2005, my father and I actually purchased a campground in West Ocean City that was called Eagle's Nest Campground. And it's probably was an absolute abomination. It was a disaster. It's what everybody fears about what campgrounds from the old days look like. There were permanent structures all over the place. There was indoor, outdoor carpet all over the ground. There was concrete everywhere. It was trailer parks. Some of the trailers were jacked up. Some of them were on the ground. Some people lived there year round. The bus actually stopped there before we went there. And it really was a blight on the community of where we were. We went into that project, and we actually redid the entire project. We scraped the ground right down to the topsoil, and we started over. We actually removed over 110 septic systems that were there, and many of them, I think the county only thought that there were 60 of them out there. That's how many we found. We put in a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment facility today, and I think by most standards, any environmental standards, the project from that aspect is a great improvement to the area. Now, I will tell you a little bit about, I wanted to show you something as it relates to the cottages. In Ocean City, when we did the cottages up there, we used something that was called a park model. And you've probably seen those before. Under HUD code, they're only allowed to be 400 square feet. And they're essentially basically a cottage that's on a trailer, comes in on wheels. Prior to us even coming into this process, it was our motivation that we actually did something a lot nicer in Bethany Beach and Ocean View and on Cedar Neck Road. And this was a result of no comments from the public whatsoever, but what we decided to do from the very start of the project was create cottages that actually take the look and the flair of historic cottages in Bethany Beach. So if you look at, for example, the old style guide or the fishtails, as they call it today, we took a lot of that architecture and vernacular and imposed it on these cottages, and these are going to be stick-built cottages. These aren't going to be brought in. These are 750 square feet, plus or minus. They're going to be nice, cute, decent seaside vernacular residences where people can come and stay. So, again, this was something that we did right from the start. This wasn't a result of public comment or anything else. We plan on doing this right, and we will do it right if you'll allow us. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit briefly, and it'll only be five more minutes, about the economics of the project and some of the people that come to our campgrounds. And I tell you this just because I want to dispel some of the misconceptions about campers. Sometimes people think, oh my goodness, here comes campers, and here comes crime, and here comes the hoodlums. In our particular campground, our cottages on Labor Day weekend, you could rent for $1,800 for the week. If you wanted to do it by the night, it was $270 a night. We currently employ 74 employees, eight of which are year-round where we are. If you wanted to go and rent an RV site by the night, it was $115. By our estimations, our client base is upper middle class. The value of the average motorhome that they come in is probably about $80,000, and probably the average household income is about $100,000. So again, why do I tell you this is not to be disparaging one way or the other, but I want to dispel some misconceptions about the campers. These are great American people that any community should embrace and want to come to their community. These are, if you're in the business of tourism, and if you're in a family atmosphere, what better place than a campground to have families? That's what they do. They bring their kids, they bring their parents, they come there, and they vacation. It's a more reasonable alternative than some of the hotels or some of the houses or some of the other alternatives that are out there. But they come there because they want to spend time with their families, and it's the vacation that they choose. A couple other things that we do, because I just want to dispel some of the misnomers that are out there, is that we do provide bus and trolley services. Typically, when people come to our campgrounds, they stay there for the entire week. They come in, they park, they enjoy, they play with their kids, their family, they do the different recreational activities that we have, and then they get on the bus, and we have a designated schedule where they'll go into, in the case of West Ocean City, they'll go into Ocean City, or they'll go to Assateague Island National Seashore or any of the other places. So we do provide those different services to keep the cars off the roads as much as possible, and it's a convenience for the people. Again, I guess I'll just wrap it up by saying that our history and what we do is as quality developers, and we feel that it'll be at the end of the day, if you allow us to do it, it'll be an asset to the community. So thank you.
Thank you. I just have a few more items to address, and then we'll be concluding our presentation. I did have a chance to look at the estimated comparison of county revenues document that was handed out, and obviously I realize the county council, a main part of their decision is not going to be based on how much revenue the county is going to generate. It's a very minor consideration. For the benefit of the people who are here, what this document did, it compared the Seasons at Bethany, which is the approved condo townhouse project revenues, versus our proposal. So it compared the Seasons versus Castaways, and basically showed that the annual revenue for the campground for the Castaways is less, and the one-time fees, that is also less. So that's what it's showing. What I would mention, however, though, is that this comparison has a fundamental assumption to it that is faulty. This is assuming complete build-out of the Seasons versus complete build-out of the campground. Now, as I know you gentlemen and Mrs. Deaver are well aware, townhouses and condominium developments have not been doing real well the last 4 or 5 years. If in fact they had been doing well, the Seasons probably would have been built and we wouldn't be here today. That's what actually generated the need to at least consider an alternative proposed use of this property. So these numbers, again, assuming complete build out, they may be correct, but the campground, the Castaways, is something that people, the owners, are ready to do now, that's going to be generating income immediately in the future. The Seasons is something that is likely to, at best, be over a long period of time before it would ever get to build it. So for what it's worth, it says what it says, but I question the assumption that it's building. Now, our application, as you know, is 2 change of zone applications and a conditional use application. The 3 uses we're proposing, the campground, the units, and the water park, since they're all a conditional use, I want to submit some proposed conditions and findings for your consideration. We believe that the proposed conditions address or mitigate some of the objections that were raised about the application. And as you know, conditions that are attached to conditional use approval are enforceable by the county, and the conditional use itself can be voided by the county if the applicant fails to comply with those conditions. So I'll hand this to Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
And again, for the benefit of the council and the people here today, there are 21 conditions proposed. I'll just go through those quickly. The maximum number of campground RV sites shall be 139. All entrance and other DLDOT requirements shall be completed as required by DLDOT. The development shall be served by the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The development shall be served water for domestic use and fire protection by Sussex Shores Water Company. Stormwater management and sediment and erosion control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements and maintained using best management practices. The applicant shall cooperate and coordinate with the state and county emergency preparedness offices to develop and implement an emergency evacuation plan. The development shall be surrounded by a 50-foot landscape buffer, as shown on the landscape buffer planning plan, and a 7-foot fence along the northern boundary of the site. We're proposing that if that's the site, or that's the boundary along the reservation. If those people didn't want that, we obviously wouldn't do it. We were just proposing that. The campground RV park may open no earlier than March 15th each year and shall close no later than the first Sunday of November of each year. The campground RV park shall remain vacant, and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsites during the period that the campground is closed. There shall be no accessory buildings located on individual campsites. Campground restrictions shall be submitted as part of the site plan review. All units to be used for the purpose of human habitation on campsites shall be tents, travel trailers, recreation vehicles, and equipment manufactured specifically for camping purposes. The water park component shall be constructed and open for use by the park tenants when the campground opens for use. The water park may open no earlier than May 15th each year and shall close no later than October 15th each year. The maximum number of multifamily units shall be 60. The daily hours of operation of the water park shall be from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. for the general public and from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for residents of the campground and multifamily units. So the water park would be closed by 8 p.m. in the evening. The water park shall operate in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations of the state and county, including but not limited to laws and regulations related to pool water quality, pool safety, storage of pool chemicals, and handicap accessibility. A shuttle bus service shall be provided for residents of the campground and multifamily units from at least the Friday before July 4th to Labor Day of each year. One sign not exceeding 32 square feet per side with lighting shall be permitted. Development and management of the site shall comply with all state and Sussex County regulations and ordinances applicable to water resource protection, and the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Potential noise from the park was a concern raised at the planning and zoning hearing. And as you can see from the proposed conditions that I just read, the water park season would be from May 15th to October 15th each year, and the park would close no later than 8 p.m. each evening. In addition, the water park would operate in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. At the planning and zoning hearing, a member of the opposition submitted the state of Delaware control of noise regulations and basically indicated that the park could not comply with the state of Delaware noise regulations that are actually issued by DENREC. In summary, what those regulations do is they prohibit sound from a site to exceed 65 decibel levels at an off-site residential area. So if I'm here generating a sound at a residential area, that sound can't exceed 65 decibels. If you look at our site, the Witter Park is, again, on Cedar Neck Road, kind of in the center. The closest residence to the north off-site is in the reservation, which would be the house right here, and that is 640 feet from the northern boundary of the Witter Park. To the south, again, this is the house that's located in front of where the storage units are, so that's the closest house to the south. That is 360 feet from the southern boundary of the Witter Park. And across the street, across Cedar Neck Road, the manufactured home right here at the corner of Cedar Neck Road and Sandy Cove Road, across from the Hopper's Shopping Center, that's 185 feet from the western boundary of the Witter Park. Now, the applicant had a sound study performed in accordance with industry methods and equipment on a water park that was located in Riviera Beach, Florida. It's called the Rapids Water Park. Now, that park is a larger park than the applicant is proposing, but on the day of the study, there were between 1,000 and 2,000 patrons at that park during the period of time that the study was done. And I'm going to submit a copy of that study for the record, as well as the state of Delaware regulations. Now, what that study did was it measured sound at 36 separate locations inside and outside of the park. Now, the relevant readings are the readings that were for sites outside of the park, because that's basically telling you the noise level off the site. And again, I'll be submitting this, and you can take a look at it. The relevant readings are the locations at sites 23 through 29 and 31 and 36. And basically what those locations were, one of those locations was 225 feet from the site, and that was 60 decibels. One was 100 feet, that was 62 decibels. One was 165 feet, that was 61 decibels. One was 100 feet, that was 60 decibels. One was 165 feet, that was 59 decibels. One was 100 feet, that was 64 decibels. One was 165 feet, which read 62 decibels. Another was 165 feet at 60 decibels. And the last one was 100 feet, and that was at 66 decibels. Now, for comparison purposes, and this is in the report, normal human conversation has a decibel level of between 55 and 65 decibels, to give you some sense of what that sound is. So all of these sound readings that were taken would be in compliance with the state of Delaware noise regulations. The one that was 66 is over, but that's at 100 feet. And since our closest residence is 185 feet, it would be below the 65 decibel level. And that's assuming everything was that close. And as I said, the reservation's over 600 feet. The house to the south is over 300 feet. And the house across the street is 185 feet. So even the sound at the closest home that's next to the shopping center would comply with these regulations. And I will hand Mr. Moore a copy of that, the sound study and the state regulations. Thank you.
Well, how much more time you're going to need, Mr. Fuqua?
Just 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. The in closing, the Castaway parcel is not public open space. This is privately owned property, and it's currently approved for 143 condos and townhouses and a self-storage business. As I mentioned before, we've got 13 acres that can be developed residentially, 10.7 commercial acres, which permit that wide variety of uses that I already mentioned. The EDUs being utilized are well under what the county have assumed for this site. And all of that, as I said, all those uses are permitted today. Now, I think one thing I can state for sure is this land is going to be developed in some manner in the near future. It's a question is, how's it going to be developed? Now, most of the objections that have been raised and that you're going to be hearing today can just as easily be raised against the wide range of uses that are already permitted on this commercial land and on the residential land. We believe the Castaways proposal, being a quality designed and operated campground with rental units and a superior recreational amenity, will have no more impact than the uses already permitted, and with the proposed conditions that would be placed on the conditional use, would very well have less impact than many of the already permitted uses. Now, as I stated at the planning and zoning meeting, I will concede that if this was a popularity contest, we lose, right? There's no question about that. But as you know, this is not a popularity contest. This is a land use request that must be decided on the facts and the law. Now, I think we've submitted the facts to you as far as the uses that are permitted, which I think is the main thing on the commercial land, about the sewer and water availability and the location. The law we've submitted, this is a county designated growth area. The use complies with the comprehensive plan. Again, the zoning permits multiple commercial uses on the site, and those impacts are similar to what we're proposing. So with that, we are requesting your approval of the two rezoning requests and the conditional use request, subject, of course, to the conditions that you deem appropriate. And that will conclude our presentation.
Thank you. Does the council have any questions?
Well, I'm wondering what has to be done to protect the wetlands from the runoff from this thing, or this
Okay, we can, stormwater runoff. Perhaps, did you hear the question? It was a little bit noisy. I think Mrs. Deaver asked what was going to be done to protect the wetlands from stormwater runoff.
Yes, I was just wondering how it's protected, the wetlands from all the pervious services.
Actually, there's a number of green technology and BMPs that will be in place prior to the wetlands. So water leaving our site has to meet the TMDLs, that reduction as identified in the inland bays. So there will have to be a 40% reduction in nitrogen, mm-hmm. phosphorus, and bacteria over what's leaving the site today.
Where will it go when it leaves?
Likely work its way through the wetlands.
To where?
Through the what?
Through the wetlands?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I didn't hear. Okay.
Any other questions from council?
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
Does the water park require a special use exception? I was understood that early on that the amusement part of this application, amusements require special use exception.
It's permitted as a conditional use.
Oh, it is permitted as a conditional use. Okay, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Another question I would have is on your conditions, proposed conditions, just a number 12, Jim, you have all these different, tents, travel trailers, recreation vehicles, and Mr. Burbage mentioned park models. You're also including park models would be permitted in there also, right? He's saying no?
Come on up. Just identify yourself for the record.
Todd Burbage.
Right. No.
We don't intend on having any park models.
Okay. So that could be clarified that there'd be no park models. And then in 18, it says a shuttle bus service shall be provided. To where, or where is it going to go?
Well, it's going to go, there's existing shuttle bus service serving other developments in there now, and we would at least approach, my understanding is they're going to approach them about becoming part of that.
You can go to other developments?
Well, we'd have stops, and I don't know if there is a drop stop in Bethany Beach or how that's set up there.
Okay, so it's basically to be, we'll find out later. Okay. When I looked at the seasons, maybe the engineer, when I looked at the season site plan and then I look at this site plan, it appeared to be a lot more open space and more, being that this is an environmentally sensitive developing district, it seemed like the seasons may be more environmentally sensitive mm-hmm. in that development because it looks like substantial open space there where your campground site plan shows pretty much a lot more coverage. You get parking lots, so could you, Jeff Clark, you did both projects. Could you maybe give us an idea of what kind of open space and why this is sensitive to the environmentally sensitive developing district, more so than the present approved project?
Well, I can refer you to the book that Lawrence passed out earlier, we've done an open space analysis using open space as is defined in your code.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to read there, I'll go there with you, but we're in the, this particular plan, the RV component of this is considered open space. There are no buildings there, Mr. Cole. So
okay.
By your definition and your code.
Okay. Just from the appearance of that, it
there is no 50-foot buffer, continuous buffer associated with the Seasons of Bethany project.
All right.
So campgrounds with RVs, you're saying it's open, okay, open space. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, following the definition in your code, your open space
I understand
section.
What you're saying.
And I have, and again, I apologize, I don't have the exact, it's page 10 in the beginning of your book. And you'll see on page 11 then there is a summary. So by Sussex County's definition, the proposal before you today is 78% open space.
Okay. Let's see, I got another question, I guess, for Jim. Jim, where's the closest amusement park to this? If there's any similar uses like this anywhere near this that you're aware of?
I believe down Sandy Cove Road.
What's down there?
I believe there's a camp park down there.
Oh, I mean, but I'm talking about the amusement park. I mean,
I'm sorry.
anything similar that you're aware of?
Well, the only ones I'm aware of in Delaware are the Jungle Gyms at Rehoboth and the one over by Midway.
And
I don't know if there's anything in Fenwick Island or not.
One in Fenwick.
Yeah, okay.
The one in Fenwick.
Is there any comparison you can make to the location chosen for this versus the locations of these other amusement parks you just cited? Can you make any similar observations, like they're on a similar size road, or there's a large population base nearby, or I mean anything? That, because this seems not to be in sync with the other ones.
Well, I mean the other ones are located basically near Route 1, both the Midway and the
major highways.
The other one, the sports complex place. The you know, other than the two-sided coin that we always hit, and that is if I was putting this on Route 1, I'd be hearing there's already too much traffic on Route 1, and it doesn't work there. So this was, as I said, I'd be, you know, it's a two-sided coin. I hear it both ways. The again, let me put it this way: if this land, if 10 acres wasn't zoned commercial, then obviously this wouldn't be an appropriate place for it. But the fact is 10.7 acres are zoned commercial, and that's what makes this viable.
Right, with a current use on it, which has very minimal traffic impact.
Oh, with
right.
Of course, the current use, it's a storage thing. It has hardly any impact, but that's not the end result. The end result is, what could it be used for?
Actually, the engineer cited different uses there with traffic impacts of similar, restaurants, et cetera, and the numbers he was using far exceeded what we see probably on Cedar Neck Road now. Just on, and we already have restaurants, we already have all that stuff, and we're not getting anywhere near the traffic he cited out of those observations.
Well, he didn't cite those. They're the traffic numbers from Del Dots.
The worst case scenario.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm going to say all these uses exist out there, and we don't get anything near.
Yeah, and the point wasn't that that's how many cars would be generated. The point is they are uses that, from Del Dots' point of view, generate traffic that would exceed the traffic this would generate.
And what are the five water park amusements going to be on in that?
Well, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with them, but there's a wave pool. Oh, okay.
I mean, is there?
There's a wave pool, a swimming pool, some water slides. You know, the conglomeration of the slides.
And how high is some of that? Because I've heard about different people mentioned maybe there's some things that are very high.
These three are in the ground.
Right, so there's no real elevation there.
There is one feature in the middle of this kid area pot pool that goes up 18 feet so they can climb.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a typical slide. The ramp at the top when you get in to go down and go through all the various slides is 32 feet tall.
32, okay. All right. And the other thing is a lot of people bring up safety and stuff. With the Hawker store across G&E, which was probably developed before zoning, right?
Right, yeah.
it has grandfathered in multiple entrances, and on a busy day, anybody who goes back there knows that cars are going in and out, and there's no real, you know, it can be dangerous. So there's no requirement for Mr. Hocker to make any changes, correct? So you'll have this directly across the street and Sandy Cove, and that didn't appear to be somewhat hazardous to your engineers who looked at this?
Well, again, obviously, DelDOT is who you have to satisfy on that, and basically, we're waiting their letter of no objection as to the entrance. They did not want the entrance lined up with Cedar Cove Road because Cedar Cove Road,
right.
I mean, Sandy Cove Road comes in on an angle,
mm-hmm.
So they didn't want it there. There'll be a D-cell lane and the other normal things that are required.
But if you could point out the different entrances, maybe the rest of the council's not aware of them, but at the G&E grocery store, you've got all the different ways to get in. You got at least
the whole
three.
Front is open as far
that's
as
what I'm saying. It's at least three or four.
DelDOT asked us to line this up with the gas pump.
With the gas pump, okay.
As Jim said, DelDOT will get their way. DelDOT will tell us.
Oh, sure, I'm sure.
They have told us where they want this.
Okay. All right. In the development trends in the last five to seven years, I was sitting here making some notes, have been predominantly single family and townhouse development. Is that a fair observation?
You mean on Cedar Neck Road?
Right, yeah, in Cedar Neck Road from
yeah, there's,
Fred
I mean, there's
Hudson
been a
on
tremendous
out.
Amount of development, mostly down at the Fred Hudson Road intersection where the old Crab Place was and along there.
Okay,
I
so
mean,
that's been the trend of county council on our approvals. Okay, just. Okay. That's all I got.
I guess I'm wondering something. I'm wondering how important that amusement park is to this whole project. Why it couldn't just be playground? It's going to bring in a lot of people from outside that wouldn't have been there otherwise. I'm just picturing it. I'm wondering how important is that to this whole project?
Well,
does this make it work or something?
But. And again, I'm sure, as you know, obviously, when you do your economic planning
mm-hmm.
of something,
right.
Everything makes it work. But the idea was, unlike some campgrounds that maybe are located on the bay or something where people have access to that, this needed to have some type of, again, superior amenity for people who come there. You know, they have an on-site activity to do. A lot of people, you know, I know when my kids were little, we used to go down to Williamsburg, down to Water Country or something, because it's a great family experience, and you can spend all day there and half the night. So that having an amenity like that here was important to the campground concept, so there was this on-site activity. They would be the what I'd call the priority customers of the park, because by staying there, you're participating in this. But to the extent there was additional capacity, and again, a water park does have capacity. There's a point where you can't allow more people in. There's fire codes and things to meet. That would be open to the public to supplement things.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, I mean, again, it's to some people, this is a very attractive place to come and bring
mm-hmm.
the family and have an activity. So it was also deemed that it was something that the community, an element of the community would want to participate in also. So yes, it is an integral part of the proposal. And obviously, even if it was just a camp park, you still need recreational facilities.
Yes, there could be playgrounds, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. That would serve the folks that live there and were using that property instead of people coming from outside, which is going to generate a lot of strangers, a lot of traffic. So that's what I'm thinking about. I'm just thinking about
it. It certainly will generate some traffic, and of course our point is, it's not generating any more traffic than could be generated from uses permitted right now.
I realize that, but we're looking at
what
we're looking at, and so I'm thinking about that. So.
Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Mr. President, prior to proceeding on with the opposition, would it be appropriate for everybody just kind of stand in place for a moment? Everybody's been seated for a long time,
sure.
Just because it's been a long time.
Get a little aerobic exercise.
That was that stretch.
Proud of you.
My eyes were.
The morning after the. I mean, it didn't make it.
It drags it. No, those people are out there.
I know. All right, in there. That's all. I got everything in the record.
I used to do it all the time.
But that was a short one.
Oh, gosh.